Matthew chapter 10. Now, for Sunday school this morning, we'll be looking at a lot of different scriptures. So we'll be teaching on a subject that I'm sure that most of you have already heard before. Well, some of you probably all heard it before, but it's something that we need to understand. In Matthew chapter 10, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And when he had called," talking about Jesus, "said, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Now, what I want you to notice there is in verse 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples," he calls them disciples there. But then, verse 2, he says, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these." Now, this morning I want to talk to you about disciples and apostles. Some people don't realize the difference between disciples and apostles, but there is a difference. And you say, well, how come people think that they're the same? Well, if you'll notice right there in that passage, it makes it sound like they're the same because there's 12 men there. He calls them disciples in verse 1. He calls them apostles in verse 2. So a lot of people say, well, they must be the same thing. No, they're different. How we know? Because they're spelled different. Amen? I mean, if we'll just stop right there and say, okay, one's spelled with a D, one's spelled with an A. They're spelled different. But there are differences between disciples and apostles. Now, there are some things in the Bible that people mistakenly think are the same thing. I'll give you an example. Last week we talked about worship, and we talked about how praise can be used in worship. But praise and worship are not the same thing. I mean, you could praise God but not worship Him, and you could worship God without, well, I don't know if you could worship without praising, but you can certainly praise Him without worshiping Him. And so they're not the same thing. There are differences. A lot of people think that apostles and disciples are the same thing. How do we know that? Because there are people walking around today calling themselves apostles. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I'm an apostle? Well, listen, there are no apostles today, but there can be disciples. In fact, every Christian should be a disciple, but no Christian today can be an apostle. So there is a difference. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the difference between an apostle and a disciple. When we read the Gospels here about these 12 men, we do see that sometimes these 12 men are called apostles, sometimes they're called disciples. And the reason why is because they were both. These 12 men were disciples and they were apostles, okay? You say, how is that possible? Well, you have to first understand what a disciple is. When you look at a disciple, or when somebody is called a disciple, what it's saying is that person is a learner who seeks to be like his teacher. He is a follower of somebody. He is a student of somebody. There are cults today to where you have the cult leader, and then you have that cult leader's disciples. They'll call it the disciples of those people. Sometimes people who follow others will take on their last name. In other words, if somebody followed a teaching of, you know, a fictitional person named Jones, they call them Jonesites, saying that they are followers of that person, or they are disciples of that person. That's what a disciple is a person who seeks to be like his teacher, a student of a teacher, a person who follows someone. And as long as Jesus was with these 12 men, they followed him and they learned from him. Therefore, they are called disciples. And the truth is, every Christian should be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be forever learning more and more about Him from His words. We should be following in His footsteps, doing what He would do, living the way He would live. The Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. And so all of us should be just like Christ. All of us should be disciples. There is no excuse for a Christian today who is not a disciple. We should all be disciples. Luke 6:40 Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master, talking about disciples. So in order to be a disciple of Christ, one must sell out to Christ, totally be dedicated to following Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now in Luke chapter 14, Jesus, in Luke 14, he gives us hints, more hints on what being a disciple is all about. He tells us what being a disciple, not an apostle, but what being a disciple is all about. In Luke chapter 14, look if you would at verse 26. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what he's saying there, he's not saying there to hate, you know, your family, like, I can't stand you, get out of my life type of thing. What he's saying is compared to where you put Jesus Christ in your life, you should love him more than your family. You should love him more than your wife, than your kids, and your children, and your brother, and your sisters, and even love him more than your own self, even more than your own life. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, if you do not make him the priority over your family, over yourself, if you do not love him more than your family and more than you love yourself, then you can't be a disciple of his. Because a disciple of his makes him number one priority, makes him the top priority in their life, loves him more than anything else in that person's life. That's what being a disciple is all about. But then he goes on in verse 27 and says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you've got to walk in the same footsteps that Jesus Christ walked in. Not necessarily just carrying a cross, but what you can do is you can bear the persecution that comes with following the Lord Jesus Christ. You can certainly do that. There are people today that, they're willing to only go so far with the Lord. They're willing they're not willing to be persecuted for the Lord. They're not willing to go out and do things for the Lord Jesus Christ because they're afraid of persecution. But may I tell you today, as Christians, if we're going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be willing to take up our cross and follow him, even though being the salt of the earth is going to probably bring us persecution. In fact, the Bible says if you live godly lives, you're going to be persecuted. We are to be the salt of the earth. And when we do that, we're going to be persecuted. But we, as being disciples, we've got to be willing to go through that. Because if you're not a disciple, you're not willing to go through that. There are a lot of Christians today who are saved, but they're not disciples, because they aren't willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. All right, now there in Luke 14, look at verse 33. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Again, Christ has to be number one in your life. He has to be the priority in your life. Everything else you can forsake, but you can't forsake him. And so that's what he's talking about, being a disciple. Most believers today do not desire to be completely dedicated to the Lord. They're not willing to be completely dedicated to following the Lord Jesus Christ and learning as much about him as we possibly can. Most Christians today aren't willing to do that. That's the reason most Christians today, they're not disciples, because that's what disciples do. Very few believers are willing to totally surrender their life to the Lord like these 12 men did. Many believers today want to be Christians on Sundays and dedicate the Lord on that day to the Lord. But they don't see the need to seek the Lord and spend time with the Lord and learn much from the Lord on Mondays through Sundays. But a disciple is a dedicated student of his teacher and seeks every day to be just like his teacher. And that's exactly what these 12 men did. They were disciples. But you say, well, wait a second. They said they were disciples, but there in verse 2 of our text said that they were apostles too. Isn't that the same thing? No. Just remember, a disciple is someone who follows the Lord, makes the Lord number one in their life, number one priority, willing to be persecuted for the Lord, willing to follow the Lord, willing to learn about the Lord. But an apostle's different. You say, well, what's an apostle? Well, an apostle is one that is sent forth, one chosen, and sent with a special commission as fully authorized representative of the sender. Now, what some people say, they'll say, well, wait a second, then we're all apostles, because after all, we've all been sent with a special commission. We've all been called. We're all represented the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. How come we're not all apostles? Well, it is true that we've been given the Great Commission, and we are to go out and tell every person about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make us apostles. Why? Because in order to be an apostle, you have to meet certain qualifications. After, in a moment. But we're to meet certain qualifications. Now, you say, well, what are those qualifications of being an apostle? Well, number one, according to your scriptures, you must, in order for a person to be an apostle back then, he had to be called or chosen specifically to be an apostle. Chosen specifically to be an apostle. Here's what Paul said in Romans 1:1. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, Paul talks in other places in the Pauline epistles where he talks about Christians being called today. And we're all called. We're all called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we were called as Christians to be saved after the foreknowledge of Christ. We were all called. But not everybody's called to be an apostle. Paul was called to be an apostle. He said this in 1 Corinthians 1:1. He said, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. So an apostle had to be called specifically to be an apostle. Why? Because there were certain powers that were given to the apostles that weren't given to everybody else. You see, there were sign gifts that were given to the apostles that were given as credentials for their office. In other words, those sign gifts showed that they were called of God to be these apostles. And remember this, you did not have a completed word of God back then. So Matthew, hold on. Matthew chapter 10, I'll take questions at the end. Matthew chapter 10, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's what he said. He gave power to the apostles to do that. Now, turn if you would over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5. Now what we're doing here, we're looking at specifically what the Bible says. Not what you've been taught, not what you think you know, it's what the Bible actually says. You have to be called to be an apostle. Specifically to be an apostle. Paul was an apostle, he was called to be an apostle. But in Acts chapter 5, we're also going to see that the apostles did many signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 5, look if you would at verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, all these apostles were. And of the rest durst no man join himself unto them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Imagine this, all these apostles were standing there, and people were bringing all the sick and droves of people that were sick and had devils and all these things, and they were bringing them there to be healed. They were even hoping that Peter would walk by, and just the shadow of Peter would heal these people as he walked by. Why? Because these apostles had been given these sign gifts. Now remember this, the Bible says for the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks require knowledge. Now what that means is this, those sign gifts were given to the Jews. Do you realize the very first signs in that Bible was when Moses was standing by the burning bush and Moses said, Lord, how will they know that what you're saying is actually from you? Lord, how are they going to know that I'm not making this up, that I came across this burning bush and God, who is the I Am, was talking to me and said, I'm going to deliver my children of Israel from Egypt. Lord, how are they going to know that it's authentically from you? And God said this from the burning bush. He says, okay, take your staff and throw it down on the ground. He throws it down on the ground. It turns into a serpent. He picks it back up. It turns back into a staff. That's a sign. And then the second thing he says, stick your hand inside your bosom. He does, pulls it back out. It's leprous. Sticks it back in again, pulls it back out, and he's cured of the leprosy. It's a sign. And then he tells them the third thing. He says, and then you'll be able to turn water into blood. Three signs. He said, give them these signs. That's the first time that signs are ever mentioned in your Bible. You know who they're for? The children of Israel. You know who the sign gifts were for? The children of Israel. The Jews require a sign. You know these apostles? These apostles at the time, they were preaching to the children of Israel. They had signs. And that's what they were doing. Okay? So these apostles were able to cast out devils. They were able to speak with new tongues. They were able to take up serpents. If they drank any deadly thing, it would not hurt them. They could lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. May I tell you, one of the things that just drives me ape is for all these people to say, well, you know what, I have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of interpretation. I have the gift of tongues. Isn't this a strange thing to how so many people have the gift of tongues, but yet how many of them do you see dancing around with snakes? Now, I understand there are some churches that do that, okay? But very few people do that. How many people have you ever met that had the gift of drinking strychnine? Listen, it says right there, that's one of the signs. Right there, it says that of these signs, it says that they would be able to drink poison, and they would be able to drink deadly thing, and they would be able to be bit by snakes and not be affected by it. That was one of the signs that they had. These apostles had that. All right, now I'll show you that Paul had that. That Paul had those, had the power of these things that was mentioned. Turn, if you would, to Acts 28. In Acts 28, if you'll remember, Paul had just been shipwrecked. They were out at sea. A big storm came in. The ship broke up. They all finally made it to shore. They're all wet. They're cold. And so they're building a fire right there on the beach. And in Acts chapter 28, look at verse 3. It says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Here this venomous snake bites this man. The natives, the barbarians, sit there and watch it, and they're thinking, man, this guy's dead meat. That snake there is poison. He doesn't stand a chance. He's got so many minutes to live. He's going to die. Paul just shakes that snake off and just keeps on about his business. Why? Because he's an apostle and he's been given those gifts. He's able to do that. And so that was what apostle. Listen, apostle had to be called to be an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically to be an apostle. Not only that, but here's a second qualification to be an apostle. Now, we're talking apostle, not disciple, but apostle. In order to be an apostle, not only did you have to be called to be an apostle, but you also had to have seen the resurrected body of Christ. You had to have seen the resurrected body of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I'll show you in Acts chapter 1 that here they're looking for the replacement of Judas Iscariot to be the 12th apostle. Now, not everybody qualified to be this thing. In fact, the Bible tells you there are only two people that qualified to be this 12th apostle. Remember, Judas Iscariot had killed himself. Now they're down to 11. They had to have a replacement apostle for Judas Iscariot. Two people qualified. Not everybody, too. Why? Because they had to meet certain qualifications. They had to be called. They had to see the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Look at it. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection." They had to see the resurrected body of Christ. Let me tell you, today, nobody on this earth has seen the resurrected body of Christ. Today, nobody qualifies to be an apostle according to the Bible's definition of it. But, no, that's not the apostle. I'll take questions afterwards. Listen, when it talks about having an apostle, being an apostle, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit of God being with them. There's qualifications to be an apostle. That's the reason you have the apostles of the Lamb and you have regular apostles. Now, it says this. An apostle in 1 Corinthians 9, 1, Paul said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" When did he see him? He saw him on the road to Damascus when he got saved. He's an apostle. He had to have seen the resurrected body of Christ. So in order to be an apostle, you had to be called to be an apostle. You also had to have seen the resurrected body of Christ, which makes it impossible for anyone today to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person calls themselves an apostle today, they're not. They're not an apostle. They're saved. They have the Holy Spirit of God, but they are not an apostle. Now, as far as apostles go in the Bible, there are two different types of apostles in the Bible. You have apostles that are normal apostles, like the Apostle Paul. You have apostles, others, apostles, which we're going to see here in just a few minutes, but they are what the Bible calls normal apostles. And these people are the ones who met those qualifications. But then also you have what's called the apostles of the Lamb. So in other words, you have basic apostles, then you have apostles of the Lamb. Now, as for normal apostles, we don't know exactly how many normal apostles there were. The Bible, in fact, I'm going to show you here in a minute, the Bible actually names some apostles that some of them you know and some of them you don't know at all. Okay, but there we're not told how many there were, but there were quite a few of them, actually. Back in Acts chapter 1, look if you would at verse 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So that means he chose those apostles. And so he had been taken up, and it says, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive. So there are your two qualifications right there. He called them the apostles, and they saw the resurrected body of Christ. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus here had been seen by many people for those 40 days after his resurrection, so that that particular qualification could have been met by many people because he had been seen by so many. Now, turn if you would over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to see something absolutely amazing, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it actually goes through and separates these apostles from being the apostles of the Lamb and being normal apostles. The scriptures itself does this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we know that the first four verses there are talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ by which you're saved. It says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. Now right there I want you to pay attention, because in verse 5 it says that he was seen by Cephas, now that's Peter. It says then the 12. So you have Peter, James, John, and those 12 the disciples, those 12 apostles, he was seen by them, okay? But then notice verse 6, it says this, after that. So after he was seen of the 12, then it says he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So picture this, the 12 saw him first, and then the 500 brethren saw him at once. The greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, some of those people died since then, some hadn't. But he was seen of Peter and the 12, then he was seen of 500 people, but then look what it says. And after that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Now, catch this. He was seen of the 12 in verse 5. He was seen of all the apostles in verse 7. Wait a second, I thought that all of them were apostles. They are, but they're two different types of apostles. They were seen of the 12 up there in verse 5, but then in verse 7, it says he was seen of James and then all the apostles. Now listen, that means right there, when it says seen of James, that cannot be James, the brother of John. That has to be James, the brother of Christ, the half-brother of Christ. Why? Because James, the brother of John, was one of the 12. He was seen in verse 5. They were seen by him in verse 5. So this had to be the half-brother of Jesus, James, and all the apostles after that. So even right there, it breaks down and says, listen, you've got the apostles here, the 12, and then you've got the rest of the apostles over here. There is a difference. Okay, you say, well, what is the difference? Well, there are different slightly different qualifications. Okay, and so we need to look at that. Now, who were some of these normal apostles? Well, we know the apostle Paul was one. I mean, that's the reason we call him the apostle Paul. He was called to be an apostle. He was a normal apostle. But he was not to be counted with the 12. He was a normal apostle. And we know that he was a normal apostle because he was not named among the 12. But there are people today who are apostles, or there were people then that were apostles the same way that Paul was an apostle, normal apostles. You say, well, who were some of these? Well, some of them may surprise you. There's one man that we might have read about the verse here back a while ago. His name was Sothenes. He's known as an apostle. Turn if you were to Acts chapter 14. I'll show you another one that's an apostle. Well, maybe you didn't know this person was an apostle. You know this person, but you may not have known he was an apostle, because what we like to say is we like to say that the apostle Paul and this person, we never think he's really an apostle, but he is. In Acts chapter 14, look at verse 12. It says, and they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, look at it, Barnabas and Paul. Now, you know, everybody knows that Paul is an apostle, but how many people knew that Barnabas was? Barnabas was an apostle. Says it right there, okay? Not only that, but turn over to Romans chapter 16. I'll show you a couple of apostles here that you've probably never heard of before in your life. Certainly, I don't doubt that you've heard any messages preached on these people. The only time they're mentioned is right here in Romans chapter 16, but it says they're apostles. In Romans chapter 16, look at verse 6. It says, Paul saying this when he's closing the book, he says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia. How many of you ever heard of Andronicus and Junia? I mean, household names, amen? I mean, who ever heard of them? Well, look what it says. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. You know what he just said? He said, listen, you need to remember these people, because they're apostles the same as I am, and they were saved before I was. That's what he taught. These are apostles. These were just normal apostles that met the normal office of the apostle, being called to be an apostle specifically and seeing the resurrected body of Christ. Okay? And so that was the normal apostles. But what about the 12? What about those 12? Well, those 12, the original 12, were called the apostles of the Lamb. And we know there in Acts chapter 1 that once Judas killed himself, they had to have a replacement for Judas. Why? Because there had to be 12, because there were specific promises that were given to those 12 men. Okay? So when Judas killed himself, they had to have a replacement. So those promises could still be given to 12 men. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. They had slightly different qualifications than Paul did, than Andronicus and Junia had. Than Barnabas had. They had slightly different qualifications. Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 1, and I'll show you. Acts chapter 1. I don't know if you've ever heard this said before or not, but some people will say this. They'll say, Matthias is man's choice to replace Judas, but Paul was God's choice. Now, I hear people say that, but that's not true according to your scriptures. That's not true at all. In fact, we're going to see just how untrue that is. In Acts chapter 1, look if you would at verse 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. It says this, it says, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which is the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that the field he called in their proper tongue, Alkadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now we'll look at verse 21. Wherefore these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. So that's a qualification right there. He's saying, listen, of these men here, of all the people here, there are two people that accompanied with us from the time of John the Baptist's baptism all the way to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So basically, for the 3.5 years of ministry of Christ, there were the 12 that were there, and there were some other people that accompanied with them as well. Now, we're not told about them until right here, but there were two more that accompanied with them. Those were the people that they could choose from. They couldn't just choose from anybody. They said, listen, of all the people we have, who else that has accompanied with us from the time of John the Baptist to the time of the resurrection? Question. Did Paul company with them from the time of John the Baptist's baptism to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? No. Listen, Paul, during that time, when Jesus was, during his 3.5 years of ministry on this earth, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was learning that under Gamaliel. He would later start persecuting Christians and killing Christians and putting him in jail. That's what Paul was doing. He was not accompanying with them from the time of John the Baptist to the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not there when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. He was not there when Jesus was healing people and making people to see. He was not one of the 12 that was accompanying with them. Paul did not meet that qualification. But Matthias did. And so did this other fellow that they were choosing between. So that's a qualification. But then look at the next qualifications. Of course, we've already went over this, but it tells us. Look, it says in verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. So they had to company with him for 3.5 years. They had to see the resurrected body of Christ. Look at verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph of Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, two men. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, watch it, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Question, who chooses them? God does. He just said, show us which one, Lord, that you're going to choose, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and their lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now that Bible says right there, it says he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Numbered, who numbered them with the 11 apostles? The Lord did. How do we know that? Because the Lord's the one who chose them. They prayed and said, Lord, show us which one you're going to choose. They cast the lots fall on Matthias, and it says that he was numbered with the 11. That means that God chose Matthias to be the 12th apostle. How many of you see that? Okay, God chose him. So when a person comes up today and says, well, I believe that Paul is God's choice, was really God's choice, but Matthias is man's choice. No, it says right there that it was God's choice. It was God's choice that Matthias be the 12th, the replacement of Judas Iscariot. It was God's choice that the lots would follow Matthias. And Paul did not meet those qualifications anyway, okay? And so that is what the qualifications of the apostles of the Lamb. And you say, well, what is so special about the apostles of the Lamb that they would have to choose those 12? Well, like I said, there are promises given to them. And I want to point out to you also that once Matthias was made or chosen to be the 12th apostle, at that point, there was never going to be another person added. In other words, those 12 people are it. Once Matthias was placed in there as a replacement of Judas Iscariot, those were the 12 apostles of the Lamb for all eternity. Now, how do we know that? Well, turn if you would over to Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to show you. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to show you something that happened later on. And you'll see something that's missing. In Acts chapter 12, look at verse 1. It says, Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He's going to persecute the church now. And it says, And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Question, is James here that he kills, is he one of those 12? He certainly is. He's John's brother. Okay? So the king kills James, the brother of John, which is one of the 12. Do you realize that they never cast lots to find a replacement for James after this? They didn't. Why? James will always go down as one of the 12. They didn't cast lots. Why? The lots already been cast. The 12 already been chosen. You had Judas. Once he's out, they replaced him with Matthias because the Bible says he was a devil. He really was never, he was with them, but he was never of them. So once he's out, they replace him with Matthias. God replaced Matthias, and after that, it's in stone. It doesn't matter. Then James gets killed. They don't choose a replacement for James. Why? Because James will always be in history as one of the 12. Judas Iscariot will not, but James will, and so will Matthias. Now, you say, well, what promises were made to these 12 apostles that were never made to Paul and Barnabas and Junia and Andronicus and Barnabas and Sothenes and all those other apostles, what promises were made to those 12 apostles that were not made to the rest of the apostles? We'll get two places in your Bible, and I'll show you. Revelation chapter 21, get that, and get Matthew chapter 19. Revelation chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 19. Revelation 21, Matthew 19. Revelation chapter 21, we'll look there first. I'll wait till everybody gets there. Revelation 21 and Matthew 19. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 10. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city and holy Jerusalem descending out of the heaven, out of heaven from God." Looking forward to seeing that. "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon. There are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." So just imagine on these walls you're going to see, see the names like Issachar and Benjamin and Zebulun and Judah and Simeon and all those on the gates. But then notice what it says. It continues, says this, "And had a great wall, had 12 gates, had 12 angels," verse 14, "and on the east gate three gate, and on the east three gates, on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates." Verse 14, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Not just any apostle, not of all the apostles, specifically the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Those 12 who met the qualifications of being called to be an apostle, of seeing the resurrected body of Christ, and of accompanying them from John the Baptist all the way to the book of Revelation, all the way to when Christ arose from the dead. Remember, Matthias met that qualification. So you have on the foundations, you have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So here's what that means. That means on the foundation of the New Jerusalem, when we see New Jerusalem, which I can't wait to see, but when we see it on the foundation, you're going to have names like Peter, James, John, Thaddeus, and then you're going to have the name Matthias there. You're going to see that name on there. Why? Because he's one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That promise was given to them when it wasn't given to the rest of the apostles, just the apostles of the Lamb, those 12. But that's not the only promise that was given. Turn if you over to Matthew chapter 19, I'll show you another promise that was given to those specific apostles that were not given to the other apostles. In Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 27. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him," Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" That's one of those things that every time I read that, I get irritated. You know, I mean, in other words, he's saying, "Well, listen, we gave up everything to follow you. What are we going to get in return?" Well, you're with the Son of God. But anyway, you know how Peter was. He always talked, kind of bold when he shouldn't have been. "Then after Peter said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." He's looking at 12 men and he's saying, "You, the apostles of the Lamb, will sit on 12 thrones and you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel." That promise was not made to the Apostle Paul. That promise was not made to Barnabas. That promise was not made to you and me. That promise was made to those 12 men, those 12 apostles, the same 12 apostles that's going to have their names on the foundation of the New Jerusalem. There had to be 12, not 13, not 11, not 85, there had to be 12 because there were two specific promises made to those 12. And only those 12 met those qualifications. That's it. Those are called the apostles of the Lamb. They had to be called. I want to point out something else too. You know that other fellow that was there and they were casting lots and you had Matthias and you had Justus that was there as well? Do you realize that Justus met the qualifications of an apostle of the Lamb? But there was one he didn't meet. You know what it was? He was there for 3.5 years. He was there with them. And he saw the resurrected body of Christ. But God didn't call him to be an apostle of the Lamb. That's the reason he called Matthias when the lot fell upon Matthias. So what I'm trying to say is there are 12 people that met those qualifications for the 12 apostles of the Lamb, slightly different than the rest of the apostles. Today, anybody can be a disciple. As Christians, we should be disciples, because a disciple is just somebody that follows, wants to learn, you know, makes the Lord number one in their life. That's what a disciple is. We should all be disciples. But nobody on this earth is an apostle by the scriptural definition of it. Nobody is an apostle. Why? Because nobody's seen the resurrected body of Christ. And is there anybody here that was actually with Peter, James, John, and the other 12 when Jesus Christ was on this earth during his ministry of 3.5 years? Then you don't qualify to be an apostle of the Lamb either. Sorry. How many of you see that? That's the difference between disciples, normal apostles, and apostles of the Lamb. Let's pray.